I'm not sure that parrots really care how many parrots there are. Countering nature and biodiversity against human beings, the question is, who's that biodiversity actually for? The problem is not just that women have fewer children, if that is a problem at all, but the problem is that we're also living significantly longer than we used to, and we're significantly less well. Now, you could therefore argue that one of the things that you should look about doing about that, we talked about technology, and technology can be your friend here, is that older people ought to work for longer and contribute more while they're older to the overall to society overall, in which case some of the problems that you would have would be less. The other thing that you could say is that, contrary to what happened in the introduction, Rana, there are large parts of the world where there isn't such a fall-off in birth rate. And what you could say, apropos of what the people on the right call the Great Replacement Theory, is that you could replace some of the people you are no longer having with some of those babies who are still steadfastly being born in other parts of the world should they want to grace you with their presence. That would be another medium-term way of dealing with the problem. But there isn't much doubt that if what you actually do is you have an aging population which contributes less and less economically, and you have a much smaller population, a much smaller population of younger people who are actually paying for them, you will lose out in all kinds of ways. You'll lose out politically because your politics will reflect the priorities of the aging generations and not the younger ones, and you could argue that's already happening. You could argue you might lose out some of your dynamism because of the characteristics of the older and younger people, though as a dynamic 70-year-old who has occasionally...
The only kind there is.
Who's occasionally encountered very undynamic 20-year-olds, I tend to dispute this. But nevertheless, there it is. And also in the fields of things like innovation. So all in all, there's a problem which requires to be addressed and requires us to change our thinking.
David, thanks very much for leading us off with a very clear statement of that particular case. Could I turn to you, Yannan? Again, the question that we have before us is there a risk that population decline will lead to economic and social collapse? So quite a challenge, what do you think?
Absolutely no. First of all, economic and social societies, they're made by humans, they're made by us. So as long as they're humans, they are not, you know, disappearing, but they might change radically. So let me start by saying, David has made some great points that are perfectly valid in the short term, in a lifetime term. But if we look at a little bit beyond that, just in my lifetime, world population has more than doubled from slightly over 3 billion to 8 billion now. We look back just 200 years, there was 1 billion people on this earth. We go further back, there were of course many fewer. But in a very, very short amount of time, like ants we have spread on this planet, we haven't treated it as well as ants. So I actually will make this argument that we could radically lower the number of human beings. A lot of issues we're dealing with would be taken care of, and that's the big issues that can't be dealt with by, you know, tinkering with government policies, like climate, like pollution, like biodiversity. There's very, very little wild nature left on the earth anywhere. And for any human we add to our numbers, there'll be more need for square meters and there'll be less wild nature. However much we do rewilding programs, biodiversity programs and so on, we cannot make up for the fact that we are everywhere. And so imagine we go from almost 10 billion now back to just 200 years ago, 1 billion. Suddenly there would be wild nature again that we anyway would still enjoy, but we would not need to make all sorts of programs for nature because nature would have room to come back, animals would have room to roam, and so on. And we would also not have to have wars about scarce resources. Water is one of the resources that wars are about, and you know, scarce minerals, food, and there'll be increasing wars the more humans we are. And even if we stay the number we are, which it's perfectly right that, you know, the birth rates have come down in our parts of the world, and, you know, also in other parts, but it's still the population is growing because of the trajectory, but we have to be far fewer. And this is not then to say I blame people who have kids or so, because I also think it's a very fake polarization of this. I happen to be one of the childless cat ladies. We are having a revival these days. But I think it's perfect. Other people who want kids have kids. I'm happy for that, because otherwise there would be no next generations. But I also think those who have kids should be really happy that I don't, because that gives more square meters and more resources to their kids. So I do think we should start appreciating much more each other and the personal choices in that. And how to deal with, of course, there will be an economic issue, because population growth works like a pyramid scheme. Do you wonder why house prices always go up, particularly in cities like London? It's because there are more and more people in the world. So there'll be an increasing demand for the square meters available. And the thing is, then there won't be any square meters at the end. So, of course, this just is a pyramid scheme. So if we could stop population and go down, yes, the house market would seem to collapse, except I think a lot of people who don't, or who aren't able to afford housing right now, who aren't able to afford anything, they could suddenly be there. So anyway, yeah, I'm making a very, very strong case for, through natural means, not through killing programs, that we go back to 1 billion. Yes. 1 billion is what the Earth can manage, I think.
Janet, thank you very much. Very, very clearly and cogently stated, and giving us a great starting point for continuing today's debate. Let me now turn to Peter Godfrey-Smith. And again, Peter, the question before us, is there a risk that population decline will lead to economic and social collapse? Your thoughts.
The population crisis is a crisis about which I'm completely relaxed, I have to say. It doesn't seem like a crisis to me at all. My thinking is not too far from what Jana was just saying, but so I'll just complement things and add some a background framing that I think will motivate the views. It would be good, I think, if there were fewer humans on Earth. Similar reasons for the reasons that you were saying. I was thinking in the preparation for this of about a 50% reduction. You're thinking about quite a lot more than that. Right, so how might we think about the comparative relationships between 50% reduction and a deeper reduction? Well, I think there probably is a point that could be reached where the human project becomes genuinely threatened by the smaller size of the population. And I was thinking a half was a safe proportion of what's around now, so there's no real question of that happening on a long time scale. I'm not sure what to think about a billion, but it's probably still within a safe range. Why then not worry that if through just shifts in voluntary choices, shift in what people want to do, why not worry that once you get to the 50% reduction that I think of as ecologically probably quite a good thing, why not think you would then keep going to smaller and smaller numbers until you reach whatever level is a level at which I think there is a risk of societal collapse because the sort of networks start to break down? Well, I think there's probably a certain amount of negative feedback in this system, and this is not, I think, discussed as often as it might be. I suspect that if you brought us down to 50-odd percent and lower, there might be a strong tendency for some people to want to have more kids than they would want to have at a present more crowded population level. So I think that it's reasonable to suspect some buffering, such that once we get to a smaller population size, if it dips further, the scope, the prospects, the square meters, the resource situation will be such as to make reproducing above replacement more attractive again. So when I say I'm relaxed about the situation, it's a sort of strong sense of a relaxed feeling, because I think we will probably naturally head to a significant decline. At a certain point, negative feedback will kick in, having to do with the same kinds of factors, the desires that people have, what they think of as a good life, how they want to see their contribution carried forward into the future. And for reasons like that, I don't expect populations to get so low that the human project is threatened. if it did, I would worry. And then I'd become something more like a contemporary pronatalist who says, get out there and, you know, worry a bit about the decline. But that's a far-fetched scenario to me. I think shifting patterns in ordinary, sensible, and diverse human choices are probably having a more benign effect than people often give them credit for.
Thanks very much indeed, Peter. And we will actually get to some of those questions, including the question of pronatalism, the official encouragement of birth rates, a little later in the debate. But let's just spend a little bit more time on this question of whether or not a population decline in principle might be a good thing or not. And David, let me turn back to you, because you did mention, and we not mentioned, you laid out very clearly that in large parts of the global north, Western Europe, Japan, even North America, we are talking about a situation where the population rise the last two decades has plateaued out and is beginning to decline. East Asia, that's true as well. But if you look at a projection for where the greatest population growth and biggest populations of countries will be in about 15, 20 years' time, into the 2040s, we find a lot of new entrants into that particular category. You find Nigeria, Pakistan, Indonesia, amongst others, while Japan and others begin to go down. Isn't the reality that the sense that we don't need to worry about population growth is less the case if you look at the globe as a whole?
Yeah, but we don't live in the globe as a whole. I mean, there are very, very, very few boats carrying Italians across to the shores of Libya so they can go and live in Nigeria. So in a way, you've got to ask yourself where the populations are, where they're likely to be, where they're likely to move. I mean, I centered my argument not on the question about whether a bigger population was a good or bad thing. I centered my argument on the problem of what happens under those circumstances when you have an aging population. I don't really think, frankly, that was addressed. By the way, just to say, Janet, if you're going to be really consistent, you can't be a childless cat lady with your own. You have to be a childless wolf lady, etc. And by the way, I'm not sure that parrots really care how many parrots there are, by the way. So countering, if you like, a kind of notion of nature and biodiversity against human beings is an interesting question, because the question is, who's that biodiversity actually for? I'm not saying that it doesn't have a value, but what is the purpose of it? So what we have is a situation whereby, say, in Europe, several countries in Europe, half the countries in Europe are suffering declining population right now, or enjoying declining population. And let me tell you what that means. It doesn't mean the cities are less crowded. It means the countryside is becoming depopulated. So you have empty villages in Spain, in Portugal, in Italy, and so on. You can buy houses for nothing in almost any of these places because nobody will live there, because the jobs aren't there, because the young people seeking a kind of degree of dynamism head for the cities. And that's what tends to happen. And even migrants coming in are very unlikely to head for the countryside in these places. And these places show you a kind of picture of what will happen, because if you see films that the people make there, or journalism that comes from there, the older people stay, the younger people go, the facilities which existed under which you might want to raise children there also disappear, because the village can't maintain the school, it can't maintain the shop, it can't maintain the other place. And what you have is a series of beleaguered old elderly people regretting the fact that their life has essentially changed and become an elderly life. That, to a significant extent, is the future that we have to contemplate unless we do something about it, which, as we'll come on to, I don't think is pronatalism.
It's a short-term future. I mean, I think part of the point of this conversation is to think about the long term, that the whole human project.
To continue watching this video, click the link in the top left or in the description below, or visit iai.tv for more debates and talks from the world's leading thinkers on today's biggest ideas.